The sun is sinking in the west. The cattle go down to the stream. A red wing settles in her nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream.
Welcome to episode number 18 of the Goat Locker Podcast. Buenas noches, sir, goat.
Buenas noches, goat lover.
Yes. I said goat and not cabra because I feel like I'm losing my Spanish
fluency. We don't have the hablan abilities that we used to.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It hurts.
It does. Hola.
Hola.
You can say that.
We went and had Mexican for dinner tonight, as a matter of fact. Great little restaurant we go to in Kernersville, and we learned how to say onion. So.
Cebolla.
Cebolla. There you go. There's your Spanish lesson
there
for the
go.
Day.
Habla. Habla away.
We're hablan. Man. Number 18, so I wanted to share this with you. There's a couple of really key features. You know, I'm a numbers guy. This is going to be a phenomenal episode.
Well, of course.
Number 18, and it's week number 28 of our illustrious year 2025. So, 18 is my number, 28 is my number.
18 is your number?
Oh, 18 was my high school baseball number.
Oh, my. I did not know that.
Yes, you did. You've known this. I told you this. You've just forgotten. That's all. It's not a big deal. And
it
really wasn't that big a deal.
I was listening to pigs on horns.
You were. That's exactly right. But, yeah, so podcast number 18, week number 28, holy Moses. Yep. This is going to be a doozy.
We're on the second half of the year. Downhill now.
We're on the back half. Holy cow. I was talking to a good friend of mine earlier today, and we're just talking about that. Like, where did this year go?
That's the season we're in. Everything just goes by. It's flying. Freaky fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So to continue with my tradition, I've looked up our naval history. And to share with you, on 7 July 1948, the first six enlisted women were sworn into the regular Navy on this day in 1948. How cool is that?
That's pretty damn cool.
So I was looking at that. It looks like they were all out of the reserve. So they were anywhere from first class, second class, third class. So they were already serving in the reserves in some form or capacity, but they were brought into the regular Navy. So it was the first six women brought into the regular Navy on 7 July 1948. So there you go.
This is
my numbers, your day. Look at there.
I like it.
We need to write this one down on the calendar. This was a big party for you.
Yeah.
Because you were like,
baby, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up.
I was going to say, you're like the 18th woman to join the Navy.
There you go. Oh. You just effed it up.
Yeah, well.
No soup for you.
That was bound to happen.
Yeah, well, I got a little bit too. I was like,
uh-oh.
You cannot do that
to
me.
Down.
You can't do it to me.
I got to lay it down.
First goat mascot at the Naval Academy was brought to the football game in 1893. His name was El Cid.
El Cid.
That's kind of crazy, isn't
it? Yep, it is.
And the Army-Navy game. And he was brought from the USS New York, from the ship. And they won that game, so that kind of started the tradition.
Of the goat.
And now they're all named Bill. And they're on the 37th or 38th Bill.
There you go. So what year was it?
1893.
Wow. First goat to the football game.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right.
So that's where the whole goat thing comes from. That's why he calls me goat, because...
the Navy. Navy mascot. And, greatest of all time. All of those things.
And I love goats.
And you love goats. Speaking of which.
To distraction. I love them to distraction. I've got, I need to count up the number of goat photos on my phone.
No, you don't.
Goat photos and video. I bet there's 15 or 20 from today.
Yeah.
It's like in the morning, they get the hay face, when you put the hay out on their table.
Oh, yeah.
Thelma especially, she's got just hay all over her face, and it's so cute.
It is good. You had some good ones on Instagram today. They
thank you, babe.
I mean, certainly they have enjoyed hanging out with Red a little bit more as of late.
Yeah, I think Red enjoys it,
too. Yeah, Red enjoys that he comes over and grazes beside him, so they've got that going on. They're neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've enjoyed that, so all's good.
Yeah.
Next what else is going on with the goats? Anything else you want to share with them on a little bit of a goat update?
Yeah, I got to give you some information on Thelma. So earlier, or last week, I guess, I halter them when I take them out to the yard, because sometimes they'll want to go to a different place.
Want to wander.
I've got to control them.
They've been cooped up all night, so they're ready to go explore a little bit.
Yeah, well, and this was the day we had a rain in the morning, so they stayed in the barn till around lunchtime, I guess. So I went, once it stopped raining, and got them. And I put them in the halter. Halter went up and started leading them out the barn towards the yard, and Louise was going along just fine, but Thelma was, I was having to pull her along. She was just balking. And then I finally looked back, and she was on her knees like she had just, you know, stopped in her tracks. And I couldn't get her up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, something's wrong. You know, I just thought something was wrong with her. You know, did I feed her too much watermelon? What have I done? So I went in and took Louise into the goat yard, and I came back to get Thelma. She was standing up then, but she did not want to go. But finally, I got her to go. So, and I watched her to make sure that nothing seemed wrong. You know, she wasn't acting weird. She was eating, she was peeing, she was pooping. I mean, those are all the
basic
things,
functions.
Yes, that need to happen. And then the next day, in the morning, I haltered her up, and Louise was coming, and Thelma laid down in the hay. I mean, she just laid down. I'm like, what in the hell? And so she's just stubborn. She just didn't want to go. Stubborn as a goat. That's where that comes from.
Yep.
There was nothing wrong with her. She just didn't want to go.
She'd been absolutely fine. She just was in protest.
Yeah.
And maybe she just wanted some time alone. You know, maybe Louise is...
Louise is a bitch.
You know, she's been rough on her, and she just was going to hang out here and didn't want to spend no more time with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
But she's back to her normal self. And
yeah, all is well. All is well in the goat world.
Grievances seem to be acknowledged and adjudicated and complete. So
yeah.
She's back to living a good life.
Yeah, she never stopped living the good life.
Man alive, I'll tell you right now.
They had watermelon today. I took them a banana peel. They didn't like it. It was too brown or something. Yesterday it was perfect. It was a perfect shade of yellowish brown. They are...
finicky.
They're finicky, except for pasta. Pasta's always good.
It's always a good treat.
Dry pasta.
Good. No, they're doing good. I know you've been happy to have them back, and all is well in the world, so...
Yep.
Camino carryover was kind of the next topic. You know, we spent a lot of time on the Camino on our last podcast, and we have. It's been a remarkable trip, and we love it. And anytime we get a chance, we met some new friends at the Bean in High Point, and we actually got to spend some time with them this weekend and just really talk about our Camino experience. It's like every time we get to go back and talk about it, I light back
love
up.
It, yeah.
We love it. It's
light back up. That's exactly right.
It just reignites us really quickly, and we're eager to talk about it. We did say it's going to be awesome because this is one of the, you know, kind of the carryovers to visit once again with those that have been on the Camino and just having that kind of reunion, if you will, or memory
rapport,
talking,
yeah.
Yeah, rapport, versus somebody that's never experienced a Camino and kind of sharing it, because it really is. I mean, our motivation and our optimism or our excitement about the Camino is like at a level 10.
Yeah.
And even if they're interested, it's hard for them to be at a level 10, right?
Well, you just can't imagine until
right.
you get there. Yeah.
And so it's, but if you're oblong with somebody who's been on the Camino, then you both get to have these kind of shared energy levels. So
it's like your people. You get back with your people,
that's
your
right.
Camino people.
But the couple that we were talking to this weekend, awesome people, by the way, that we've met.
We met them at the Bean at the coffee shop. You know, we go on Sundays. And
unbelievable people. I'm not really sure why they even talk to us, because we have hardly anything to offer them as compared to what they offer us.
Because of you, I'm sure.
You. But, no, we're super grateful for them. But it's, I hope that they, you know, they're kind of sniffing around on it. And, you know, it's probably going to be in the plans maybe 2 years out, year and a half, 2 years out. And I'd really love, we, both Vicky and I, when we left there, we're like, man, we hope they do it, because they are the kind of people that would just love it.
Yeah.
They would love it. And we know that. We already know that about that for them. And so we hope that they get to experience that for sure. Tell me some carryovers. What are some things that you're...
Well, you know, I love to walk now. I mean, it's not like I'm obsessed with it or anything, but I like to walk. And I don't know that I've never said that before, even all that training we did. I like the training. I like that part of it, the build-up and anticipation and looking forward to it and all that. And, you know, hanging out with you, too. And you know, because we always have good talks if you're in the right mindset for it.
Most times.
But so I like to walk. And today I did. I walked today and I did listen to something. I had something in my ear. But, you know, the whole time we were on the Camino, we did not listen to anything. Neither one of us used our earbuds, and that was awesome. And up until today, when we walked, I didn't listen either. I didn't listen to anything other than, you know, just my steps and whatever. So I enjoy that. I love that.
So walking for sure. That's a that's a great carryover, right?
Yeah, that's a great result. I mean, even if there's nothing else, you know, that's a pretty good thing. And I want to maintain what I gained on the Camino with, you know, all that walking and...
Man, just the endurance and the strength and all of that, right?
Right. And, you know, there's no way I don't want to walk 10 miles a day.
No.
And I can maintain that in other ways. You know, just still being consistent walking and, you know, strength training, but, you know, just being consistent with with my walking and cardio, whatever cardio I do, mostly walking. And so I've got a ruck. I've got one of those Go Ruck backpacks that I, you know, was kind of
balking at,
yeah. But it's like a grape ape purple. It's beautiful. There's nothing intimidating about it.
It's a good size. It's not super big.
Yeah, it's very nice.
But the thing that you notice about these things, even this one, I mean, you knew this about mine, but yours is extremely well
made. It's bomb-proof. I mean, it is. I won't ever need another one.
Yeah, they're designed to carry weight.
Yeah.
They do such a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. And yeah, love them. I rucked today and just love it. It's, you know, mine still, I've put some miles on it, and it's still, like, the straps and everything are still stiff as if they're new, right? I mean, it's so well built.
Yeah, for sure. Worth it.
What other carryover things from the Camino?
I don't think...
Well, we're drinking one of them right now. Tinto de Verona. We have not mastered, but we are dialing her in, right? And so we've kind of got a couple of wines that we like in there, our mixers.
Barry's got the proportions.
We've got the proportions kind of dialed in a little bit, so we're getting there. We have an idea what we're doing now.
That's what we're drinking right now.
Mm-hmm. Very good. From the Rioja region, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'd written down a couple of things myself. Mine was probably more about the things I miss. I miss the training. You're doing a really good job of working out. I am too. I mean, I'm back in the gym like I was. My cardio side, we're down a little bit from, you know, the regular routine that we had, but we're getting
back. You're an animal. I mean, you love that shit.
I do. And we're getting back in that stride. So that's been good. I certainly miss the simplicity of the Camino. That was, you know, we're back to complexity and all that brings,
life. Like
the farm and the mountain and regular life and all that. And so that's fine. I mean, it's we embrace that and enjoy that as well. But the one thing I wrote down that I really just, it kind of struck me was when we were on the Camino, it was 100% an adventurous day. Everything that we were walking towards was new to us.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we're walking towards today is not new to us. And so I think the thing that we really enjoyed about the Camino and a key takeaway and carryover for me is just maintaining some measure of adventure to make sure that we go and do something new every now and again to, you know, just kind of keep that alive. Because that is one thing about that 22 days on the Camino. Think about it. Every day, every step was new ground.
Yep.
100% adventure. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Absolutely awesome. So.
Yep, and I love telling people about the Camino, people that have never been and don't know that much about it, just about the amount of women doing it solo. You know, young women, mostly older women too. I mean, doing the whole thing, it's just remarkable. And that says a lot about that environment and the community, you know, that it's, So
safe,
I think we probably talked about
safe
it before
and this. Inviting, and it's all those things, right?
Yeah, supporting, all that.
Supporting. I've heard it on several podcasts. This is a well-studied issue about just mental health, time outdoors, exercising, et cetera. And if you can be outdoors and exercising and spending that time in nature, just the grounding that is for us, you know, and our mental state, you know, it's a bit of an anxiety reduction and all of those things. And You know, I think the one thing that we absolutely enjoy now is our hikes out, you know, in nature, being in nature, and just making sure we're getting that time.
Yeah, it's good.
So if you know, for the six people that listen to us, if you don't get the opportunity
there's,
to get
I think
up,
there's seven now.
Seven, maybe. Yeah, we're climbing. Yeah, that's climbing. but yeah, no, it's being outdoors, being a bit adventurous, and spending some time on your feet is. It's good for the soul.
It is.
It's good,
good for the soul.
Good
for everything.
And that's probably what I missed about the Camino the most was that and just doing that every day. And we do have a reunion plan. We're working on connecting with some amigos that we met on the Camino, and they're down in Florida. And so we're going to try to rendezvous here in the next month or month and a half or so. And we're really looking forward to that.
That'll be awesome.
That'll be awesome. And we love this couple. They're,
they're awesome.
Good people, man. Yeah. So. Okay. Posting, boy, you're really back in the saddle and just hammering it, right? You've had some really good stuff out. What are some themes that have come out of your last couple posts that you want to share?
You know, identity, values and identity just keeps rearing its head. And I don't, it's just like everything I hear about so much or I read something, I'm like, man, that's like, that's identity. It's all, it all leads back to it. But I think it's fascinating, and it has been for a long time. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about in this retreat. That's one of my blocks is identity. The other one is intention, which is another amazing one. I think it's very powerful. But so the last blog I wrote about, I included some quotes and some writings from other people. And one of them was, she is a counselor, I think, Nedra Tawab, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but she puts out some really interesting, good, basic, grounded stuff. But she wrote about what shapes us, that some people, this was mind-blowing to me, some people aren't interested in being well or being the best version of themselves. And, you know, yeah, exactly. I mean, not everybody has to do that just because... You know, I think about that a lot. You know, what's how I can be the best version of myself. Doesn't mean that everybody else is. So I thought that was very interesting. And also, and because the reason for that might be is because living in chaos is their comfort zone. That's their norm. And they don't know how else to be. And maybe it's part of their identity. It kind of feeds them. Sometimes drama, some people feed on drama. And
actually, I think a lot of people do.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a drama person. I can't stand it. And, you know, you are the same way. But some people feed on that. And it, I think it gets almost like an addiction. Then anyway, I just thought that was really interesting. And the other person I wrote about was, there's this guy, he's an author, actually, but he's got a Substack, Shaun of the South. He was on the Camino when we were, and he's an, a great writer.
He is a good writer.
But... he was talking about identity too, and just in a different way. But, you know, you can be what you want. You can be a peacemaker or you can be a helper, you know, or not. You know, the opposite of that. You can be positive or you can be negative. You can be the type of person that's always looking for what's wrong. You know, that's, we've talked about confirmation bias before. And, you know, if you think you're going to find things that people that are against you or, you know, if you're going to look for what's wrong, you're going to find it. If you're going to, if you look for what's right and what's good and what's brings you joy, you'll find that too. You know, it's all, you just, you got to decide. Decide what to be and go be it.
Mindset is a crazy thing.
It's a powerful thing. It is so good. Yeah.
So powerful. I wish I knew his name, and I could probably go back and find some records to confirm it. But my psychology professor in college, I know... we've talked about this many, many, many times. He was such a an inspiration to me, and so many things that he said back in those days continue to resonate, but it was just, you know, this the power of your mind, right, and how you can really do that, you know, program yourself, and, you know, that, you know, people think they're sick and they get themselves sick. You know, it's just almost, you know, that, that energy that you are driving with your mind, it will unfold in some form or fashion, and it's mainly because that's, to your point, that's what you're looking for, so you'll end up finding it, you know, one way or the other. So.
Yeah, and that's how intention is so powerful, too. You know, if you say, I intend, I mean, we've told this story before, too. You know, we our intention when Sam went to college was, what are we going to do now? Right. We're going to be adventurers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wrote that down, and I even forgot about that. But by golly, we became adventurers. You know, that's important to us. That was our intention. We set that intention. And that's like energy. You know, we set that energy. We set those ripples. You know, we threw that rock in the water, and the ripples kept going. You know,
that's great.
We couldn't even see the ripples, and they were still going. So
I remember that walk. I remember that walk in Kansas City.
Do you really?
Don't you remember that? I was just walking and talking about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the conversation. I didn't remember it was during a walk.
It was. It was absolutely during a walk. Because that was some
when
of
we
our,
started our walking careers.
It was. That was when our walking career started, was in Kansas City. What a fantastic neighborhood we lived in.
Man, it was awesome.
And so just perfect for it. Often we would walk down to Prairie Village.
Perfect village.
But that was in one of those walks was where that was born. It was, we were talking, you know, what do we want to do? What interests you?
Yeah.
And the hiking and adventuring, because we were just getting into kayaking. We were starting to.
Yeah.
That was a whole other story. Stuart will be a guy that we will remember
forever
from LL Bean. But yeah, so, and it was that intentionality. All the way back to, you remember, we weren't married yet. We were driving on I-95 southbound to south of the border to pick up Sean. And we were reading a book. Smart Couples Finish Rich, and you were reading that. Remember, this was the day when you would read while we were driving.
I thought about that. I thought about that book I read to you and Sean.
Yes,
The Horse Whisperer.
The Horse Whisperer.
Anyway,
but that
I forgot about that one.
Smart Couples Finish Rich, and we said on that day, what would it be like if you were 60 and I was 56 and we retired? That was a long time ago, and look at us today. I'm a little younger, but
he can't do it. He just can't leave it.
That energy, you kind of set that energy in the universe, and off it goes, man.
It does. I mean, it is not. I don't believe in, like, you know, you can manifest whatever.
Right.
But that's kind of what manifestation is. Yeah. It's like you intend and you send that energy out, and you keep following through. You can't just say, you know, I'm going to be a fairy princess, and
right.
It happens. I mean, you got to take that step.
You got to make those steps.
And sometimes
happen,
take those steps, even, it's powerful
but
stuff.
But when you put that energy out there, you have a tendency to then start following
and
doing those actions. And that's how that all comes about. And so intentionality is a pretty powerful thing. No doubt about that. But the one thing I was going to share with you, too, is that, you know, so all the things you mentioned in this blog was spot on and really good. I really enjoyed it. The one that really struck me, you kind of got into this whole piece about Society of St. John the Evangelist and just talking about, you know, any number of factors make you that was created by God, gifted by God to be a singular part of Christ's body. And you kind of go into some more depth in there, but then you end this with, am I pulling my load and using my gifts? And man, that one really kind of struck a chord to me because it is something that I think about every now and again. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm pulling my load. So I have less concern about pulling my load. But I think the question I ask myself a lot is, am I using my gifts? And that's a good one. I mean,
I think you absolutely do. I mean, you're very gifted in so many ways. And yeah, I think you use them all.
Yeah, and I'm not asking about that, you know, in terms of validation as much as it's just a good question for us to ask ourselves.
Like, absolutely.
Are we using our gifts? And what does that really look like? And, you know, have you really sat down and ever even tried to take an inventory of what those might be that God graded, you know, gifted you? You know, that's right. It's heavy, powerful.
Well, and the part of that that made me write it down, that made me, like, delve more deeply into it was the way we were created to be Christ's body, is that what it says?
Yep. And so we're like the singular version of the universe, right? So all of us collectively come together as a community. Right?
It's that community, and that's, that's good.
No, I understand. That was a good one.
Thank you, Ben.
Another good blog, as usual. What's coming up? Anything you want to share with us that you got coming on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm writing on one now.
Oh.
I'm really excited about just because, you know, it's interesting to me, and I like thinking about stuff, but it's comfort and convenience. What did I say? Comfort and convenience, the ultimate destination? No, I don't think it is. But because neither one of those, you know, is like the secret to happiness or life, you know, and we kind of have that energy as a country, I think, as a society, that we want everything fast and we want everything easy, you know, the easy button.
Well, this was, I mean, clearly, and not that the Camino inspired us in totality, but, you know, in our entire journey, this was something that definitely resonated with us, is that we are a society of convenience, and we want it to be fast and comfortable and all those things. And not that, you know, Europe or Spain specifically doesn't want those things, but they enjoy and they appreciate the time it takes to do things and to do it well. And
yeah, and I talk about that.
They celebrate that, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's, it's good.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to that. So you think that one will come out this Thursday? Or
it's scheduled for Thursday at 7:28.
Oh, my word. I mean, that's like serious, like that's a system, like you've built a system.
Yeah, I'm a systems girl. If I schedule it, if I have it ready ahead of time, I schedule it for 7:28 because 7 is my birthday and 28 is his.
Yep, it's a good time.
And I'm trying to be a, you know, systems numbers girl.
I hear you.
Just on Thursday.
It makes your life a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're looking forward to that for sure. And then, man, you guys are really starting to zero in on this retreat that you guys have been working on, and you've got another meeting coming up this week, and you guys are really starting to pull some stuff together. Yeah. Any updates?
We got pretty much everything for the welcome bags that all the participants will receive on August 3rd. I think we've got everything together for that. But man, it is just going to be, it's exciting. Every time we get together, we just get more excited about it, talking about what it's going to look like and what all that we're bringing. You know, Shelley's place is just
amazing.
It is. It's a retreat. It's retreat-like. You know, it's just beautiful. She thinks of everything, all the details. And it's just going to be a beautiful experience. You know, there's going to be sound bath healing, which is crazy, just calming and, you know, it's amazing. Shelley is going to have lavender flights. I don't know exactly what, I can't tell you what all that is, but it is, I mean, a lavender flight, you know, in little shot glasses. It's going to be amazing. Kylie's going to do tea blending. She's going to do, talk about the healing power of teas. There's going to be flower foraging. Cyanotypes. I'm going to do a Kokodama and a visioning workshop. I mean,
a visioning workshop. The visioning workshop that you did with Muddy's back in the day in Memphis was a great course that you went to.
It was. It was like, it was kind of a life-changing tool to be taught. Yeah. I've used it in a few different times. I remember I used it for, I took it like an advanced course, Ashley
did,
and I,
yeah.
And I did it for the Rusted Bucket Project. You know, what a porch party would look like. And yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm very excited. Everybody's excited about it.
The visioning, not to get too deep in that, but I mean, you know, circling back to intentionality and energy and so forth. I mean, that's all part of it. And the visualization of your ideas and setting that in motion.
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful thing. So that'll be cool for you to be able to share that with these folks at the retreat.
Absolutely. It's a tool. Yeah. It's a powerful tool.
Very good.
And it's kind of like expectations, intention and expectations get very much go hand in hand. David.
It's not your part yet, Kat.
But intention and expectations are very, sometimes kind of work side by side, hand in hand.
Well, that's awesome. So that retreat's coming up. It's in September, but
the welcoming event will be August 3rd and then September 6th and
7th. 6th and 7th, and then just a few more seats left. So for those that are interested,
you can go to mygardenblooms.net and the event page.
.net. There you go.
Join us. It'll be awesome.
It'll be a fantastic group. I know it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be beautiful.
I'm happy for you guys.
Me too.
Before we move on, Because I've got a couple of updates myself. It's minor, but I've got a couple of updates myself.
It's your show too, baby.
No, I'm just a clown in this rodeo.
But it's also your show. The clowns are important.
The clowns are important. Well, hey, in the rodeo, they can be the most important, actually. They are. But anything on the goat pageant?
Rodeo. Yes. Nothing like solidified, but, right. You know, just thinking about stuff and planning. Glamour Goat Rodeo Company might be some merchandise you could purchase. We're looking at sponsorships, you know, Farmers Feed and Seed, you know, maybe the Lexington Large Animal Vet. We're going to talk to them just to see, you know, what we could do. And, you know, we have talked about we're going to keep it fairly small. I think Barry said maybe 10 goats should be the max. And, you know, that will make it easy for it to stay fun and not get, you know, huge and just stressful. I want it to be fun. I want it to be ridiculously fun.
And manageable.
And yes. Manageable. Exactly, yeah. Enjoyable for everybody.
And enjoyable. That's right.
Because we want to enjoy it, too.
But first weekend in October is what we're dialed in on at this juncture. We don't have that completely firmed up just yet. I think it was October 4th.
Yeah, I think it's October 4th.
But that's just around the corner now, which is hard to believe. It's... Holy cow.
I know.
I mean, we just celebrated the 4th of July, so.
Yeah, all right. It's going to be awesome.
Well, you're starting to think about training the goats for your tricks.
I kind of started on that today.
Oh, you did.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Because I know you do have stuff to talk about.
No, yeah, go ahead.
It'll be quick. So, you know, the goats love dry pasta. So, like, we were out here when they were grazing beside Red, and we've got this concrete table with benches. And so I was sitting on the bench, and I put a piece of pasta in my mouth, and made them put their front feet up on the
bench
so they'd reach me. So that's just the first step, and I don't exactly know what, but it's the first step.
So you did.
Training has occurred.
You started some training today.
I've started some training.
Well, and then haltering, you said you were using a little bit of pasta.
Pasta to get them haltered.
They're looking to get into the halter instead of avoiding it. So
They're
getting there, yeah.
They like pasta.
As our family dog trainer would say, which, by the way, Doggone Good is a phenomenal trainer.
Shout out to Doggone Good.
They're phenomenal. So if you're in the Kernersville area or this part of North Carolina, you need a dog, Oak Ridge, they're phenomenal. But he taught us the term treat trained, you know, and I think goats are pretty much treat trained at this juncture. They know zero German. Zero German.
And they won't. I don't want them knowing German. It's not my kind of... No.
Oh, man.
You talk about balking and laying down.
Yeah.
Just see how that's would...
going down.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So, cool. Well, man, just a couple things I've got. Man, I just finished up a week and a half ago of my second loop on the Chattahoochee BDR in north of Georgia. So, Jody, a new rider friend of ours, Scott, and myself went down just almost 2 weeks ago now and rode for 3 days down in Georgia, we've done this
Tell
loop
us what
together.
BDR means again.
Yep, and so the BDR is the Backcountry Discovery Route, and they've got them all over the U.S. They've really been intentional about developing routes in the Southeast. They now have a Southeast that goes from the, you know, basically Pensacola up into Damascus, Virginia. They've got this loop in northern Georgia that you can take off of the Southeast that connects to the Mid-Atlantic. The Mid-Atlantic basically goes from Damascus up into Pennsylvania, and then it connects to the Northeast, which takes you all up into New England. And then there's tons of them out in the Pacific Northwest and in the Western U.S. So we got to ride that for a few days. It was safe. It was fun. We got a little bit of rain the first day, but after that, it was two really good days of good weather. And, man, it was amazing. It's Jody and I are – and Scott, the guy that came with us, you know, first-time adventure rider, we've now converted two guys. There's another guy down in the Lake Tillery area that we've been riding with. There was a former Harley rider who has become an adventure bike rider. And then Scott, who joined us.
Who was the other guy?
Mike.
He was a Harley rider?
He was a Harley rider.
I remember that.
But Mike was a Harley rider, and then Scott was a Harley rider. And so they've kind of migrated over. And, you know, a big piece of that is just, you know, a lot less of being on the road and on the highways. Not that you're not on the road, but it's a lot less, and you know, and we just enjoy it. I mean, it's, and most of the road riding that we are doing is in the backcountry, two-lane kind of roads. You're not on big interstates and, you know, busy roads and thoroughfares. So it's just, it's incredible. So we got to do that. And a week from tomorrow, Jody and I are leaving for Colorado. So we're loading up the truck and heading out west. This was a trip that a work colleague of his had kind of started and talked Jody into coming out. And Jody said, hey, I'm going out. Do you want to come? And I'm like, yes. And then through that whole conversation, it's like, well, if we're going to take all of our stuff out there, we should probably stay out for a few extra days. And so it's turned into kind of two trips. We've got the first leg, which is Jody and I. Jody and I are going all the way down to Southern Colorado, hitting the Colorado BDR and riding it all the way to Wyoming. And that's five legs that we're going to do in Colorado through some unbelievable, I mean, just right through the mountains of Colorado. I mean, mm-hmm. We're in central Colorado the whole time. Basically, we're riding Telluride all the way up into Steamboat and into Wyoming. And then we head back down to Southern Colorado and we meet Mark and Jess and Alec. And those two guys are from Minnesota. They knew Mark.
Three guys.
Well, Mark, they knew Mark, the third guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then those two, they all knew each other from Minnesota, and so we're all meeting in Southern Colorado on the second phase and riding the Alpine Loop. And
how long are you going to be gone?
It's 2.5 weeks.
It's pretty close to three.
It's pretty close to three. I mean, I'm leaving the 15th of July and back August 2nd, something like that.
And so. I will miss him terribly, but I will be thinking of a place for me to go for... Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little bit of, as they say, payback is a medevac. So yes, I think I'm going to end up this. Yeah, but no, it's it is. I'm very thankful excited for the opportunity. Him. Yep, absolutely.
Because so we went to Jody and Amy's for New Year's Eve, 4th of July, and those two did not stop talking about motorcycles the whole time. They talk on the phone and they exchange emails and texts and they're talking about motorcycles. And they got a shit-eating grin on their face.
Or eat up with it.
And they are eat up with it. And so we're very happy for that.
It's been a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. And I just can't think of a better guy to ride with. Jody and I have done a lot of things together. And we've had a lot of adventures. And so this is going to be yet another one. And
we need a whole new podcast on the damn sailboat.
That is a hell of an adventure. But so that's coming up. We're excited about that. I'm excited about that. I know that the couple that we met that we were having coffee with this weekend, a work associate of hers shared with her that he is going to ride the Colorado BDR. And so it's just kind of interesting. We as we started telling people about our Camino opportunity, we started learning about all these people that either have done the Camino or are on the Camino or getting ready to do the Camino. And now that I've been talking about the BDR with a few folks, it's like, he's doing or she, so... It's just interesting how that works out. So looking forward to that.
Yep.
And then lastly was, a big part of my professional career, not as big as the other two for sure, but I had the distinct opportunity and privilege to be a part of Viterra for nearly 2 years. And Viterra and Bunge had made the decision to merge nearly 2 years ago, and that was finally approved. The last approval came through from China just recently. They closed on the transaction at the end of last week, and it is now, Viterra is no longer, and Bunge is a much larger organization. And so, shout out to Viterra first. They were really an outstanding company to work with. I absolutely loved many, many of the folks that I got to meet and work with there. I'm so privileged I got to be a part of that. I'm happy for them that they've moved on to this next phase, and I wish them all the very best. So there's lots of my former team members that'll be transitioning into Bunge now, and I know that they'll bring excellent leadership and experience to Bunge, and Bunge will be so happy to have them, and it'll be a good...
Lucky to have them, yep.
Very lucky to have them, so... I hope the very best for my guys and for anybody that I had the opportunity to work with at that outfit. I think about you guys regularly. Make no mistake about that. So, miss you guys. Miss you. Man, I think this is about it. We're we're about there, you know, 40 minutes. Yeah, well, it was we were near 50 minutes the last go round. So,
oh, I thought it was 39.
Oh, maybe it was, but
anywho,
man, well, we'll get back onto our every other week schedule kind of deal. Now that we're back on even weeks, so next week will be week 30 in the year of our
Lord. Is that what it was? Even weeks.
So, no, it's
it's good.
Well, don't you got anything else you want to wrap up with?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything.
Okay. Well, excellent. Well, listen, we appreciate each and every one of you guys that spend some time with us and get to listen to us. We absolutely love this. And, one of the things that I had listened to not all long ago is, you know, Rick Rubin is a guy that I have a lot of admiration for. He's written a book recently, and he talks about, you know, you create for yourself. You do it, and don't worry about anything else. Just create for yourself. And much of what we do right here is really for Vicky and I. We love this, and I'm happy I can help you with this. And
oh, man, it's, yeah. And I love that we can do it together and that we have fun doing it, and we do it in one take. We have not had to or tried to edit anything, but... Oh. Barry is my manager. He manages me. So, you know, we go over notes. This is what I want to talk about. And he kind of prompts me. He's like, he does the prompts and guides me. And it's the same thing he did on the Camino. And he does it well.
Yeah.
He knows me pretty
well. It works. But
and I give him shit because, you know.
Because you can and you're good at it. But
thank you, baby.
I'll leave you with this. We were recently introduced to the idea that the filmmaker... Ken Burns is wrapping up the final production of a new documentary on the American Revolution. And we have listened to, Vicky's just about done with it, I've listened to the entirety of it of a podcast with Ken Burns. And listening to the depth and storytelling and the richness of all the various podcasts that this man has done. And we've seen a couple of his, maybe even just bits and pieces, but... we're eager for the American Revolution, which is coming out in November, as we understand it, on PBS. But he also has produced, I think you counted yesterday, was the 30-some-odd.
30-something, yeah.
Documentaries starting all the way back to the Brooklyn Bridge and just some fascinating ones. So a new one's getting ready to come out, and I think it's going to be an epic documentary.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended, but yeah. So that's coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all we got.
That's it. Until Thanks. Next time, we appreciate you guys.
Yep.
Purple light in the canyon. That is where I long to be with my three good companions. Just my rifle, pony, and me. Gonna hang my sombrero on the limb of a tree, coming home, sweetheart darling, just my rifle.